Good evening. Lord's good. And all the time, God is good. Amen. Today is Mother's Day. And we're going to ask all the mothers to stand up. Will the mothers please stand up? All the mothers-to-be also can stand up. All the spiritual mothers. Okay. We ask all the ladies to stand up. Okay. In the morning, we have the children to present. Okay, some items to you. So we don't have children here. So we have bigger children. Oh yeah, we do have a child. Thank you. We're going to have a pastoral prayer now. And then after that, followed by the sermon. I just felt that today we shall pray for mothers in our pastoral prayer. Shall we pray? Father, we just want to thank you that you are God. That you are a loving God. A God that provides. A God that cares for each one of us. A giving God. A supportive God. So Father, today we come together as one people. Your people. To pray for mothers everywhere. God our Creator, we pray. For new mothers coming to terms with new responsibility. For expectant mothers wondering and waiting. For those who are tired, stressed or depressed. For those who struggle to balance the tasks of work and family. For those who are unable to feed their children due to poverty. For those whose children have physical, mental or emotional disabilities. For those who have children they do not want. For those whose children to raise children on their own. Without the support of spouse or family. For those who have lost a child. For those who care for the children of others. And for those whose children have left home. And for those who desire to be a mother. And that desire has not been fulfilled. Bless all mothers. That their love may be deep and tender. And that they may lead their children to know and do what is good. Not living only for themselves alone, but for you and other people. Loving God, we thank you for the love of the mothers you have given us, whose love is so precious that it can never be measured, whose patience seems to have no end. May we see a loving hand behind them and guiding them. We pray for those mothers who fear they will run out of love, or time, or patience. We ask you to bless them with your special love. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our sermon title today is Our God Gives. Our God Gives. Okay. As I find that as I study the Lord's Prayer, the deeper I dig into the Lord's Prayer, the more gems I found, the more treasures I find. So it's something that I would recommend. I would ask each one of you, please go back, read the Lord's Prayer and study and see how much you can get from it. Just studying the word, the Lord's Prayer. Okay. The Lord's Prayer is so powerful and so full of meaning. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's pray together, okay? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In these few words, it's encapsulated the whole teaching of Jesus. If you want to know what Jesus' purpose on earth is, and all his teaching, and you can find everything there. And even in one single sentence, Matthew chapter 6, 11, I find that I can preach 3 sermons on it. And I'm doing that. Okay. One day at a time, give us today, which I preach this morning. Okay. Talks about the concept of time in the kingdom of God. Okay. our God gives our daily bread, which is we'll talk about this evening. And then I'll share about share bread. The community that shares bread, give us today, give us today our daily bread. And I'll share this on the Sunday when the rest of you are in camp. For all those left behind, okay, you will still have your bread. Okay. This morning, I shared about one day at a time. And more important is, what is our concept, what is Jesus teaching us about time? Okay. We have the past, the present, and the future. And the question I ask is that, where are you living now? Are you living in the past, even though your body is here? Or are you living in the future? Or are you living in the present? Some of us have very bad experience in the past. Okay? When we are young, we have been abused emotionally, physically, spiritually. And that bears a scar. Do we now live up and out of that scar? Okay? Our present determined by the past. Okay? Some of us have problems with our parents, our mothers, our fathers. Okay? And the conflict never resolved. And the war goes on. Some of them is, you know, nuclear war. Some is cold war. But it goes on. Do we still bear that? So if we don't, then we are still living in the past. Some of us are injured or hurt when we are young. We are told, you're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. And we now spend most of all our life trying to prove to everybody that we are smart, that we are powerful, we are clever, we are rich. No, we spend our life at present proving our past. And the past who has bondage. And we have to realize that those of us who are living in the past have to break this bondage and live in the present. Because Jesus says, this is how you pray. Give us today our daily bread. Not give us yesterday's bread or tomorrow's bread. Some of us live in the future. Okay? We say, oh, we'll work very hard so that we will have a future for our children. So much so that we don't have time to spend with our children. We just focus on the future of children. Not say that, oh, we'll establish our career or business, and then in the future, we will have time to enjoy ourselves. Okay. The problem is that some of them say, oh, we'll travel when we have enough money, and in the future, we'll travel, which is good. But then in the future, you may be too old to travel. You cannot walk. So how do you travel? Okay. So if you live in the future, if your whole life is geared towards a future that your presence is just existing, then it is not correct. That is not what Jesus meant. When Jesus says, give us today our daily bread, He wants us to live in the present, in this moment in time. And I think it's important for us to realize that this moment in time, some of us may not be facing bad times and difficulties, but that is what we are to be as a people of God, to be present to the Lord at any moment in time. So give us today our daily bread. Jesus is teaching us that we have to live one day at a time in the presence, because the future is never what you plan it, think about it to be. And the past is something that's past. Okay? We must not let it bind us and let it strangle us, that we live in bondage for that. Okay? And as I said, the Lord's Prayer is Jesus teaching the first century Jews, those who are His listener, what it is like the kingdom of God is all about. Okay? The kingdom of God, if you look at the Lord's Prayer, it talks about our Father in heaven. Who is this Father? Who is this that we should worship? Who is the one that created the Creator? Who is He? Hallowed be Thy name. Why? Why should we worship God? Why should we prostrate and give our life to this God? Who is this God? Your kingdom come. What is this kingdom that you are talking about? Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Where is this kingdom? Where is it, things happening? And then you find that the second part is more practical. It talks, how do you live in this kingdom of God? The how part. You have the physical, how body part. You have the spiritual or soul. And you have the spiritual or spirit or emotional or soul. Okay? That means every aspect of daily living is there in the kingdom of God. Okay? And that is what the daily bread is all about. Okay? Daily bread is how do we live physically in the kingdom of God, here and now. Okay? Of course, we can talk about bread. Okay? Jesus says, you can have your bowl of rice too. Give us today our bowl of rice. Doesn't sound quite right. Give us today our daily bread better. Okay. But it means the same. Okay. Our needs. Okay. Well, I believe that Jesus used bread because bread is more familiar to his listener. Okay. His listeners, bread is a staple food. They eat a lot of bread. Okay. But bread means more than food to his listener. To people who listen to Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says, give us today our daily bread. Bread means it's not only the physical bread that we have, but means that everything. Martin Luther says, everything necessary for the preservation of life is bread. It means not just food, but everything. Including food, yeah, a healthy body, good weather, house, home, wife, children, good government, peace. That means everything that is good is bread. So when Jesus says, give us today our daily bread, it means everything that is good, give us today. Okay? Pray for God to give us all the good things in life. And also it indicates that kingdom living is in ordinary things. Again, I will emphasize that kingdom living is in living day to day in the ordinary, mundane things of life. Sometimes practical things happen, but mostly it's just doing what you're doing. Okay, you are where God wants you to be. So do what you are supposed to do. Okay, and also when Jesus says, give us today our daily bread, the listeners, again, first century Jews, understand when it's about bread, and then they understand the Exodus story of manna from heaven, which is bread from heaven. So when Jesus says, give us today our daily bread, Jesus says, aha, Jesus is talking about the Exodus story. Okay. The Exodus tour. Okay, I don't know how many of you go on tours. Okay, when you travel, do you join tours? Okay. I find that going on tours, joining tour groups are very horrible. Okay, you spend a lot of time rushing from place to place. Usually, like 14 countries in 14 days, sort of thing. Or maybe 14 countries in 7 days. You know, so you jump out in the morning, you jump out on a bus, and then you, at night, you unpack, and because you don't even unpack, you leave off your suitcase. Okay, and you rush here and rush there. Okay. The only, tour that I enjoyed was the one that we went to, Turkey. I went to Greece. Under, Kayong. In Kayong, where we went to the follow the footsteps of Paul, and that was a very nice tour. But most tours is very bad. Okay, let's go back to Exodus and say let's go on the tour. Okay, Moses says, you want to sign up for my tour or not? Okay. Now, if you join the Exodus tour, now who is a tour director of God? Okay, it's just a cloud. Okay, the glory of God. It comes in a cloud. And your tour guide, Moses. Okay, Moses is a tour guide. And the places of interest, these are the highlights of the tour. Desert, desert, and more desert. And where do you stay? No, not 5-star hotel, no. Tents. Okay. And the itinerary. Okay, what do we do for the tour? Well, we cannot tell you in the head, Moses says. You know, we follow the cloud. If the cloud turns right, we go right. Cloud turns left, turns left.
And how long would this tour last? 40 years. And what do you have? No 6-course or 10-course Chinese dinner. Manna and quail. Bread and ham. So that is the Exodus story. Okay. And that is also in a way, as told in Exodus, show us some truth in walking with the Lord. Okay. And links back to the manna. Okay. Manna or bread in heaven. Okay. Exodus 16, verse 8. And Moses also said, you will know that it's the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said, told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. And the Israelites saw this, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it's the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer. Omer is like a gallon for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as it needed. So it's quite interesting. When they start gathering the manna, okay, Moses tell them, gather enough for yourself. But I think the Jews are very closely related to the Chinese, you know. Okay, they have a kiasu. So some collected more, some collected less. Okay, but after they collected and they go back to the tent, they find that everybody has equal share. Somehow, everybody has equal share. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported to Moses. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink. Get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses says, because today is Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you have to gather, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord says to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So people rested on the seventh day. So you find that manna is given daily. Okay? Enough for everybody. No excess. Not too little. And they're only given for 6 days. 6 or 7 days. Because 7 days is a day of rest. So those who keep extra, it rots at night. But on the sixth day, when you get a double portion, it doesn't rot. So on the seventh day, I think that the Exodus story or the tour or whatever you think of it teaches a very important lesson. That God is able to meet their needs. Okay? But God wants them to learn the lesson of depending on God for their daily needs. That's why he doesn't give them extra, you know, enough for the storage. Or they give them 2 liters. Okay. Total and complete dependence and trust on Yahweh daily. Now, if you're on Exodus tour, it's not easy. Yeah. Following a cloud around the desert. But there's no delusion of control. You have no control over your life. Okay? You just follow the cloud. Okay? The cloud turns left or right, you follow left or right. You wake up in the morning, you don't know where you'll be in the evening. It's not easy to live like that. To have no control over your life. No delusion. And to be dependent on God to give you food every day. What if God take a holiday tomorrow? Will we starve? What if tomorrow morning there's no dew on the ground? Will you starve? Can we live with this? I wonder, can we live with this uncertainty? But that's what God is teaching the people of Israel. That this is how you should live. Give us today our daily bread. Okay. So when Jesus says, give us today our daily bread, people who isn't that, go back to the Old Testament, to the time of Exodus, and remember, yes, God did provide for the people. For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, they were never in one. Just God did provide for them. Now if we talk about our present day, let me introduce you to the Kingdom of God tour. Okay? Well, tour director, God the Father. Tour guide, Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Places of interest. Okay. The world that we live in. Okay. More interesting than desert, isn't it? But also dangerous. Okay. The desert is a dangerous place. Okay. Those of you who have been to the desert know how dangerous it is. But if you wander off, you die of thirst, okay, you get stung by a scorpion, okay, you fall into wadis, fall into holes. Okay. The desert can kill you if you're not careful. And we live in the world. And the world is a dangerous place, full of traps and dangers and scorpions. They'll kill you if we are not careful. And the accommodation is our life on earth. Okay? Our present lifestyle, that's where we stay, is what, at this moment, our tour entails. And what we need to do is one day at a time to follow it. And the duration of the tour is our life on earth. And our daily bread is dependent on God. So Jesus is trying to link Exodus story to the kingdom of God. And saying that where you are like the people of Israel moving in the desert. But you are now moving in the kingdom of God. And even then, you still have to be dependent on God. Okay? That you are not on your own. So the question he actually asks when he talks about the daily bread is that, can you trust God to supply your daily needs? Can you trust God? Can this God that we talk about, that Jesus talked about, our Father who are in heaven, be trusted? And how different are we? You know, there's not much difference, as I say. Our God gives. God is a giving God. God has given us our daily bread. And we have seen numerous examples. So when you ask, I ask you the question, can you trust God? He has proven that yes, he provides for some people. Elijah. Okay. King, this is a beautiful thing, painting for Rembrandt. An angel giving bread to Elijah. Okay. This is just after the event, when the power encounter. Elijah facing 450 prophets of Baal on the Mount Carmel. Okay, where he says, okay, we see whose God is greater. So we have a sacrifice, but no fire. We ask God to provide fire. So the 450, then he says, you go first. The 450 prophets and priests, you know, pray, and they fasted, and they cut themselves, but no fire came. And when Elijah prayed, and fire came and consumed. And that was a powerful And the drought was broken. And the rain came. So that was very great. Then, interestingly, when Jezebel, King Ahab's wife, says, heard about that, he says, I will kill you, Elijah. And Elijah heard that, and he ran. You know, this great prophet of God suddenly got scared for his life and started running. And he ran all the way to, and he left his servant and went into the desert. And then he sat under a tree and says, I have enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down on the tree and fell asleep. Perhaps want to die. But God did not leave him. God supplied his needs. An angel touched him and says, get up and eat. He looked around and there was, by his head, was a cake of bread baked by hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. And again, the next morning, came down, the angel came down, get up and eat for a journey is too much, and he went on the way to Haran. God provided for him. Again, bread. And all who listen to the story of the Exodus also linked to the story of Elijah. Because Elijah is very popular with the Jews. Very popular prophet. And God provided him with bread in his time of depression, in times of need. How about Ruth? Another story. Okay. Ruth is reminding of the Chinese drama, not Chinese cinema. The father died, the husband died, the son died, or everybody died, the woman folks crying. You know, you watch most Chinese movies like that on the start. You know, the husband will die, and then the son will die, and all the women will be crying. So, Naomi went with husband to Moab. Okay? The son married, as daughters-in-law, the son died, the husband died. So Naomi came back, and Ruth is not Jew. Jew is a Moabite, but she follows her mother-in-law back to Israel. Now, in that time, if you are a woman and you do not have any men folks to protect you, it's very dangerous. And more important is that, how do you make a living? Okay, there's only two ways open to you. Either you bake, you go begging around, okay, or you become a prostitute. Okay, so these are the ways that is open to a woman. There's no men folks. But Ruth is quite interesting that God, she happens to be in the right place at the right time. When she was picking up the grains left over by the harvester, happened to be the field that belongs to one of his close clan members. Boaz. So God does provide. And we know later on that Ruth married him. So what are the chances of her happening to be in the same field, in that particular field at that particular time? Okay. God does provide for your needs for at that specific time. Okay. One more example. John Grant. Okay. One of the reformers that not very popular, or not very popular in the sense that nobody heard of him. Okay. Everybody heard Martin Luther, John Calvin. And you always think that reformers have a good time. Actually, they don't. If you look at the life of Martin Luther, he's running for his life most of the time. Okay? Because the Catholics do not take it lying down. If they catch you, they'll put you through the Inquisition, or rather they put you through the, trial you for heresy. They'll burn you at the stake. Okay? So, John Grant was persecuted by the Catholic Emperor in Spain, Charles V. And this story was told that when he was caught in a town when the Spanish cavalry arrived, so he couldn't escape. So the Lord says, go to the northern part of town, and when you see the first open door, you go in. So he went into this house with an open door, and he went and hid in the loft. Okay. And all he has is one loaf of bread. And the Spanish cavalry soldiers searched the town for 14 days. Couldn't find him. Almost find him a few times when they the lance through the loft and all that, and he almost got speared a few times. Then, how did he survive? He just loaf of bread. So apparently, every day, a hen appeared and lay an egg for him. Okay. Then on the 15th day, the hen didn't appear. So he got hungry and peeped out, and the Spanish soldiers had left. Believe that? Well, it's recorded by the reformers that this happened to him. So God provides. So the question goes back to, do you trust God for your daily needs? Jesus says, pray this way. Give us today our daily bread. Do you trust God for your daily needs? He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you would eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? And your body more important than clothes? But the birds of the air, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add an extra hour to his life? Consider that. Do you worry about your daily needs so much that you do not have time for God? Okay? And worrying doesn't help. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Again, go back to the main thing. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Connecting back to the kingdom of God. Okay, so give us this day our daily bread. Our God gives. Our God is a God-giving God. He wants to give us good things. But we have to ask him for it. And we have to trust him that he will look after us. It's important for us to trust. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for reminding us again that life consists not in having many things or great power or great stuff, but we are to seek first your kingdom and its righteousness, and then all we will get all that we need. That you are God who provides, God who gives. Father, we do confess that often we do not trust you enough. Trust the work of our hand more, the security of our bank accounts, our portfolios, our friendships, that we lean to our own understanding and not to yours. We ask that you forgive us, Lord. Help us to believe. Give us faith to believe that you will supply all our needs. Help us to pray this prayer. Give us today our daily bread. And justify us and bring us into this kingdom that you are, that is here and now. And help us to live our life daily in your kingdom. Power and with glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.